David's just here to, you know, make us think about maybe some things we might not have otherwise thought of, like we eat candy out of stockings, out of socks. Hey, if you want to grab a Bible, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1 today, and we're just 2 days away from the big day, and so we're going to wrap up our month-long Christmas celebration and our look at carols today by talking about this carol, O Come, Emmanuel. Here's what I know about Christmas. It's like the beginning of the end. Like there's all this buildup to Christmas, and then it's like the beginning of the end. Like Tuesday is the beginning of the end of fudge for me. Like since Thanksgiving, like fudge, right? Lots of fudge, but like Tuesday's the beginning of the end for fudge for me. It's like the beginning of the end for turkey and dressing and ham and yams and all that kind of stuff. So it's like the beginning of the end, and it's like the springboard to new beginnings. It's the end that leads to new beginnings and a new year. And here's the great thing about the message of Christmas. This is the great message of Christmas. God is, God was, and God will be with us. God is with us. God was with us, and God will be with us. And I want us to get a handle on that truth today, and we're going to use the springboard of the carol, O Come, Emmanuel, to see this truth in the Scripture today. So let me just give you some background on this carol. It was written somewhere between the 8th and the 12th century in Europe. So like, that's a long time ago. That's ancient, like between the 8th and the 12th centuries. That's a long time ago. And what they would do during that time in the church is they would sing these chants or these phrases that all started with the letter O. And then they would read from the Scripture. They would read a psalm. And then they would sing or chant phrases, again, that started with the letter O. So this carol and this message is brought to you by the letter O. I have two grandsons now, so Sesame Street's in the rotation, all right, brought to you by the letter O. And so they would do these chants and with these phrases, and they were known as O antiphons. And one of the lines that they would sing gave birth to this song, O come, Emmanuel. Now the key word in the song and the key word for our purposes today is Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. God is with us. And let me ask you this question. Have you ever prayed, God be with me? God be with us. God be with us while we travel. God be with me on Christmas Eve while I shop so I don't hurt anybody and nobody hurts me. God be with me. God be with us. God be with me as I go on this blind date, because he might be a creeper. Yeah. God be with me in my final exams. God be with me. And what does that even mean? What does it mean for God to be with us? Check this out in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she, that's Mary, will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. See, that's why he came. That's why Jesus came. This is the announcement that people had been longing to hear for centuries. This is the good news. There's one coming, a Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Verse 22, and all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. So let's just stop there for a second. So we understand what's going on. Matthew is about to quote the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Okay, this is like from the older portion of Scripture. This is Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah prophesied and foretold this event 740 years earlier. Now think about that. That's crazy, right? 740 years before Jesus came, this prophet Isaiah said he's coming. When I think about that, I'm amazed at how good God is. When I think about that, I'm amazed at how big God is. I'm amazed at how big and how grand his plan is. Seven centuries before this event, a prophecy is given. And here is the prophecy fulfilled, verse 23. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now listen, this is dramatic. This is a dramatic event. This is earth-shattering news. And everybody hearing this, everybody reading this, would know that no person has ever seen God. Because God is too righteous and too holy to look upon. They would have known that you can't look upon God in his pure essence and live. Like if you see God, you're going to die. He's that holy and that glorious, you can't see God. They would have known, anybody that read this would have known that Moses had to hide his face when God passed by. That they would have known that God lived in the Holy of Holies in the temple. And nobody was allowed in there because you can't see God. Nobody was allowed in there except for the high priest, and that was only one day a year. And this was so scary that when the high priest would go in there, they would tie a rope around his leg. Like, they would tie a rope around his ankle, and they'd, like, run the cord out. And so when he went into the Holy of Holies, like, if something happened, if he did see God and he died, they could drag him out. Like, this is serious stuff. So when he says, God is with us, they're like, wait, nobody's seen God. Nobody's ever seen God. See, God is just that big and that holy and that righteous. You can't look at him. But now, Matthew says, God is with us. He is with us. I mean, what is it that made the shepherds run back to the fields rejoicing and praising God? What was it that sent the wise men, the magi, to their knees and ultimately to bow their face in worship? It was this. God is with us. God is not a distant God. God is not just a God that watches over us from a distance. God was now with us. The creator and the sustainer of the universe is a personal and relational God. He stripped himself of his glory and became like us. He was with us. Now, he came in the form of a baby. And he was all God, and he was all human, but without sin. And he lived here among us. The Apostle John wrote it this way. John chapter 1, verse 14. So the Word became human and made his home among us. And he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. God made his home among us. Matthew said, God is with us. God was with us, and God will be with us. And that's the best news ever. But I fear this is our problem. Most of us simply don't believe it. We don't. I mean, some of you don't believe in God. You don't believe he is with you because you don't believe at all. Some of you are Christ followers, and when I say God is with you, you say, really? Because I'm not really feeling it. Like I don't have this like tingly, like goosebump feeling going on. And maybe you feel that way because you're kind of in a rough spot right now. Do you know what Christmas is? Christmas is the great magnifier. It makes the good look really good, and it makes the bad look and feel really bad. I mean, some of you are facing an empty chair this Christmas. There's going to be somebody missing from your celebration, from your Christmas dinner. And they're going to be missing because of divorce or death or distance. And it's just wrecking some of you. Some of you may be going through a relationship thing. You're wondering, where is God in this? Because I don't feel God, and I don't see God. I mean, if God is there, why is this going down? Where is God? God is with me? Some of you are dealing with shame. You're so ashamed of something that you've done, and you're thinking, why would God want to be with me? Now, it's really hard for me to believe that God is with me. Here's what I want to see happen today. Before we leave here today, I want you to be convinced that God is, and God was, and God will be with you. Because he is Emmanuel, God with us. And when that truth gets ingrained in your heart, you will never be the same. So let's just look at each one of these a little bit more in depth. First of all, God is with you. God is with you. Here's what Luke wrote in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Gabriel appeared to her, that's Mary again, and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." See, God is about to ask this young woman, Mary, to do something very unusual and incredibly difficult. And he needs her to know that God is with her. She must know that God is with her and that he's behind all of this. And listen, if you're hurting right now, I want you to understand that the Lord is with you. And God is with you in a powerful way. The Apostle Paul recorded in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He is with us to comfort us. And he comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. And when they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us." God is with us, and one of the things that he does with us is comfort us. God comes alongside of us, and he ministers to us in our times of trouble. God comforts us in times of trouble. Again, some of you just don't believe that. You're not buying that. And I know that we don't believe it because if we believed it, we would change the way that we respond to some of our difficulties. We would change the way that we respond to life. You know, when our kids are small, there's some things that scare them. Like when our kids were small, there were some things that scared them. And as an adult, as a grown-up, you're like, okay, not really scared. I don't know why you're scared. We don't really understand it. In fact, I remember when our boys were little, they would sometimes be afraid of certain costume characters at some place that claims to be the happiest place on earth. Like Mickey Mouse was scary to them at one point. And like Mickey Mouse would come up and he thinks, oh, it's all good, little boy, he's going to like this. And no, not liking it so much, a little bit scared. And, you know, their lip would like come out and it would like start trembling. And so what did I do? I assured them, I'm with you. It's okay. I'm with you. I'm not going to let them hurt you. You don't have to be afraid. I'm with you. You don't have to be afraid. Daddy's with you. They're not going to hurt you. I'm with you. And listen, when we understand that the God of the universe, the all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God is with us, it changes everything. You see, when you're alone and there's nobody around, he will be your friend. And when you feel lost and you don't know where to turn, he will be your guide. And when you feel weak and you feel like you can't make it another day, he will be your strength. And when you are sick, he will be your healer. And when you are hurting, he will give you hope. And when sin is getting the best of you, he will be your savior. Our God is with you. God is with us, and God was with us. In the past, God has been with us. You know, here's the thing about life. Sometimes God is easier to see in the rearview mirror than he is in the moment. Sometimes it's easier to look back on your life and see that God was working than it is to see him working right now. I mean, you can look back at events in your life and you can see, well, that had to be God. You can look back at things in your life and so say, man, God was with me. You know, there's the account of a guy named Joseph in the Old Testament. Again, in that older portion of Scripture. This is not the stepfather of Jesus, Joseph, but this is like the original Joseph in the Bible. And Joseph, even as a young boy, was a dreamer and a leader and a visionary. But his brothers didn't really see him that way. His brothers kind of thought that he was a know-it-all punk of a daddy's boy that was just a pain in their neck. And his brothers hated him so much that they wanted to kill him. But instead of killing him, they just beat him up real bad and then threw him down in a hole, threw him down in a pit. And they were just going to leave him there to die. But one of the nice brothers thought that they shouldn't leave him out there to die. I mean, let's not kill him. I mean, let's not be that ruthless. They didn't kill him, so they sold him into slavery instead. It's a little bit better. Yet Joseph continued to live with integrity, and then he was accused of something that he didn't do, and he ended up in prison. And if you look at it from a distance, it's easy to ask, where was God in all that? Where was God when his own brothers beat him up? Where was God when his brothers threw him in a hole? Where was God when his brothers drug him out of the hole and then sold him as a slave? Where was God in all that? Where is God in all of the trials? Where is God in all of the seeming injustice? You see, what we realize when we look at Joseph's life is that God was working all along. God was working behind the scenes. God was in charge, and God took him from the pit to the palace to being prime minister of Egypt. And then God used him to spare his own people, his own brothers, during a great famine. God was with him all the way. The scripture records this in Genesis 39:21. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. And from there, Joseph just ascended to the palace and the prime minister and beyond. God was with Joseph all along. And see, I can look back at my life and see that God has been with me all along the way. Even when I rebelled against him and when I did my own thing, God was with me. I remember when Amy and I were first married, we were actually living a country song. We were living on love because we didn't have any money. I was in Bible college and Amy was working full time, putting me through school. And God was with us. And when Richie came along, not really planned, we didn't have health insurance. And we had no idea how we were going to pay the doctor and hospital bills. And God was with us. 16 and a half years ago, we moved to Los Angeles. Not knowing exactly what God was up to and what he had for Venice Church, but we knew he was with us. And you know, for the first 9 or 10 years here, the church, we never had more than $10,000 in the checking account. But we knew God was with us. And he always provided. And some of your lives
have been changed because God was with us here at Venice Church. And we can look back at all these times in our lives and we can see God was with us. And you can do the same. You can look back at your life and you will see Him. When you lost your loved one, when that delicate situation came up at work, when you didn't know how you were going to pay the bills, God was with you. When you broke up with that girl, God was with you, and He spared you from decades of misery. God was with you. When you had given up hope that that special somebody would come into your life, God was with you. When you wondered if that precious child would ever come along, God was with you. God was with you. See, God is with you, and God was with you, and God will be with you. No matter what you go through, God will be with you. Think about this young girl, Mary. Imagine what it would have been like if she could have seen the future. The angel told her, the Lord will be with you. And imagine if she could have seen the future. Because this is what she would have said. God will be with me when I conceive this child, even though I've never had sex with a man. And God will be with me when I go and tell my fiancé, Joseph, that I've conceived this child, but I've never had sex with a man. And God will be with me when I ride 100 miles on a donkey, when I'm so pregnant I can't even sit down. And God will be with me when we get to town and there's no place for us to stay. And God will be with me when I give birth to the Son of God in this cave that animals seek shelter in. And God will be with me when we're on the run to save our baby from the genocide that was declared by Herod. And God will be with me when our son is 12 years old and we leave town without him. And God will be with me when my son turns water into wine at that wedding. And God will be with me when my son is falsely accused and beaten within an inch of his life. And God will be with me when I stand beneath that cross that they've nailed him to. That cross that they've nailed him to so that he can pay for the sins of all mankind. And God will be with me when I hear him say, "It is finished. Into your hands I commend my spirit." And God will be with me when they lay him in that tomb. And God will be with me when I mourn the loss of my son. And God will be with me on the first night, and the second night, and the third night. And God will be with me when I wake up early on Sunday morning and I come and find that the stone has been rolled away from the tomb and that he's not there, for he's risen just as he said. God will be with me. And God will be with you. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans 8. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we're killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And he said, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will ever separate you from God. No thing, nothing, no thing, not doubt, not mistakes, not disappointments, not failure, not broken dreams, not sin, not your insecurities, not your theological questions, not the things that you can't explain, not your brokenness, not your sickness, not other people, not divorce, not a job loss, not the loss of a loved one. No thing, nothing. There is nothing that will separate you from God. And the scripture is clear that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Hebrews 13:5 says, for God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. You will never be alone. God will be with you. God will never leave you. He will never fail you. He will never abandon you. God will be with you. God is with you. God was with you. And God will be with you. Jesus' words are recorded in Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. He will be with you. He has been with you. And he will be with you forever. David said it this way in Psalm 23:4. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. God is with us. There's no question about it. It's just the truth. God is with us. It's settled. It is written. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And here's the real question this Christmas. Are you with God? He is with us. It's a truth. It's fact. It's settled. But are you with God? That's really the only question that needs to be answered. And I think this is the time to answer the question. God is with you. He is faithful. He is true. He doesn't change. He's not going away. He is with you. Are you with him? If you're a Christ follower, do you love him with all of your heart, soul, and strength? He is a relational God. He is not far away. He is with you. Are you with him? Would you pray with me? I'd like for us to pray a couple ways today. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, if you're a Christ follower, would you just pray this along with me? Would you just say, Father, I am so thankful today. God, I'm so thankful today for your wonderful plan to save me. And God, I can look back at my life and I can see that you were there all along. And I know that you're with me today. And I know that you will be with me tomorrow and beyond. And God, I just want to declare this Christmas that I'm with you. I submit to you. I'm following you. I'm trusting you, knowing that you'll be with me. And maybe you're here today and maybe you came in today and you're like, you know, I don't really know if I believe. But today in this moment, you believe that God has been with you, and you believe that God led you here today. And now you're willing to give your life to this Savior, to this Jesus. And you would just pray, God, I know that, you know, I've kind of done my own thing and haven't really, like, been with you, God. And I know that I've disobeyed you, God. And I realize today that you've been watching over me, that you have been with me all along. And you have led me to this place today. And I believe today, God, that you sent your son Jesus to die for me. And I believe by faith that he died on the cross for me. And I believe that he rose again the third day. And I put my trust in him today. I want to follow him beginning this very moment. I want to be with you, God. And so I take Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior, as my leader today. And the best that I know how, from this day forward, I will follow him. Father, we're thankful for this time that we've had together. We're thankful for this opportunity to worship you, to recognize your son Jesus. And we pray, Father, that you would bless the remainder of our holidays. God, that you would bring the joy and peace that only you can bring to our hearts, to our lives, to our families. And we pray all this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. God bless you guys. Merry Christmas.